There's a lot of different people here for many, many different reasons. One of those reasons is because you are here to celebrate. But can I just be honest with you? When I was growing up, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Easter. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday night, and Wednesday night in Sunday school. I had this drug problem. I was drug everywhere. My mom made me go to church every time the doors were open. And I can tell you, sometimes I was happy. Like when we were in vacation Bible school and we were drinking, you know, the Kool-Aid, and not like Jim Jones Kool-Aid, but drinking the good Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid man, busted through the wall Kool-Aid, you know, when we were doing that, singing songs. I like that. But sometimes Easter felt really stuffy. And Easter felt kind of tough. And, you know, you'd be there like, oh, man, Mom, I don't really want to wear the tie. I don't really want to wear the suit. And so when we started Life Community Church a couple of years ago, I waved goodbye to every single necktie that I owned. And that's just not who we are. And we just want you to know that we are praying that this church will be three things. A connecting church, that we connect people to Jesus, and that we will be a caring church, that we care for people, especially within our life groups, that we care for people and we help shepherd people, and then that we change the world. And we change the world by telling people about Jesus and serving and making a difference. So today, as we're here talking about life, talking about celebrating life and what life is all about, the reality is when you hear Life Community, or you hear that Jesus is alive and all of this life talk, some of you all are thinking, man, you know, I just don't know if life is really as good as you say it is. I just don't know if life really is as awesome as the church is making it out to be, and as awesome and amazing as different things like that need to be. I just don't know if it's as cool. If you have your sermon notes with you, your program, open it up this morning. You got a little individual sheet this morning. It's going to help you follow along today. And you'll also find your connection card. I'd like for everybody to make sure you fill that out today during the sermon. But if you look at your sermon notes, I just want to start off by saying there's some bad news today. And you're sitting there thinking, bad news? I mean, Kenny, we're here for Easter. It's not supposed to be bad news. It's supposed to be good news. It's supposed to be good, awesome. Everything's great. Let's celebrate, clap our hands, and then let's go eat at grandma's house. I mean, this is good news, but there is some bad news. I just got to be honest with you. Life wants to be real. We want to be real life. We want to take the transparencies off. We want to be real. And here's the bad news. Life can be tough. Any amens on that one today? Life can really be tough. I mean, if you look at these four D's that we got, I just want to put it up on the PowerPoint. Here's why they're tough. You ready? Because we have discouragement. You ever been discouraged? I mean, had something happen, a health problem, a money problem, family problem, just discouraged you, discontentment. Man, you don't really like where you're at right now. Your job just seems like a dead end. You're not going anywhere. What's the deal? You're discontented. You're full of discontentment. Disappointment. I mean, you know, you thought you'd be somewhere right now in life and you're not. You thought you'd have kids and you weren't able to have kids. Disappointment. Disillusionment. You thought that big thing was going to really make it. You thought that this was all about you, and it's turned out that it's not about you. Well, as this happens, as we struggle with this bad news today, we have a natural tendency to do something. When we have discouragement, discontentment, disappointment, disillusionment, when we have those things, we are tempted to do something. And that temptation is simply to walk away from life. And we walk towards our personal Emmaus. Now, I'm going to explain what your personal Emmaus is here in a few moments. But let me just tell you this. When we get so downtrodden, beat down, depressed, discouraged, angry, stuff like that, here's what we're tempted to walk away from. We're tempted to walk away from Christ and how good Jesus is. And we're tempted to walk towards other things. For example, we may be tempted to give up on our spouse. You know what? It's been a good ride, but I'm done. with my marriage. Or you're tempted to walk away from your kids. I've been praying for them and nothing happens. Let's just send them packing the end. Or maybe you're walking away from sobriety and peace of mind. And you say, you know what? Things are so tough. I'm just going to retreat back to alcoholism. Or I'm going to retreat back to drug use. You run away from life. And there, you know, I don't know. But it's possible someone here today could even be thinking, you know what? I'm so ready to run away from life that, man, I just want to end it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to really, really end it. I just want to just say, see you later. It's not worth it. It's over. But today, as we talk about Easter and life and the resurrection of Jesus, I really want to encourage you something. So here's the good news. Are you ready? Here's the good news. Jesus lives. And he can give us, you ready, a new and better life than what we have right now. Regardless of what we're dealing with, what we're struggling with, what we are contemplating, what we are just having a really difficult, hard time with, because Jesus lives, he can give you a new life. Now, I'm not saying he can make your life better, but he does make your life better. What I'm saying is that when he busts forth from the grave, he began something pretty amazing. He began the recreation of the world. He began the recreation of everything that we see. The cross, when he died, was the end of our old life. The resurrection is the beginning of our new life. And if we believe and have faith and we trust in Jesus, that new life, different from the way we were born. A new life, hope, peace, a change, a new direction is for you if you believe. So as we celebrate Easter today, man, I'm going to encourage you that you have a reason to live today because Jesus lives. You have a reason to get up out of bed, walk across that floor, and do something with your life. You have a reason to breathe today. You have a reason to shine today. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. All found in Jesus. Every bit of it is found in Jesus. You know, Jerry read the Easter story about when the Lord rose from the dead and the ladies found Jesus first and Mary Magdalene found him. Well, when they saw the resurrected Jesus, they went back and told the disciples, and it kind of spread a little bit because Jesus, after he resurrected, was like popping up at different places. He just didn't like say, oh, I'm here. I'm just going to go rent a room at the Best Western. Come see me if you want to. He was kind of appearing and disappearing and going from one place to another place. So they would sporadically see the resurrected Jesus, but he was saw by many, many people. And the rumor got out, or the word got out, that Jesus was alive, that he had resurrected, that God had raised him from the dead. But we read about, after the resurrection, two guys. We don't even know their names. We know one of them is named Clopas, and the other one, we don't even know who he is. We know they were followers of Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. They weren't part of the 11, but he had many disciples, more than just the 11. And they were part of the overall group of disciples that had kind of put their faith in Jesus. And they heard these reports, and instead of sticking around where life was, where Jesus was, they went a different route. They left Jerusalem, where Jesus was popping up, towards a city called Emmaus. And they left Emmaus, or they left life, to go towards their personal Emmaus. They were running away because of their discouragement. And today, many of us are simply trying to run away from our responsibilities, from what God has for us. We're running away, running the opposite way from life. I want us to pick up this morning at 24, verse 13. We'll read the story. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute you're having with each other as you're walking?" And they stopped. walking and look, they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. And moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, 'How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over.' So he went in and stayed with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. So they said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts ablaze within us while we were talking with while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?' That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were gathered there together and said, 'The Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he made known to them in the breaking of the bread." So here are these two guys. They had heard the reports. They did not stay in Jerusalem. Instead, they left. They left to go towards their Emmaus. They were leaving life, going towards despair, discouragement, disillusionment. And in the process of this, the resurrected Jesus, the living Jesus, walks up with them. And he starts talking to them. But supernaturally, divinely, they were kept from recognizing Jesus. So here they are talking, and Jesus walks up and says, "Well, what were you guys talking about? What were you guys, I see you're arguing, you look sad, you look depressed. What are you talking about?" And one of them says, "Have you not been in Jerusalem? Have you not been around? I mean, where have you been? Jesus, we thought he was the Messiah. They crucified him. It's the third day. We've not seen him. We're leaving town, man. We are jumping ship and getting out of this thing before it sinks like the Titanic. We are out of here, man. See ya later." And at that point, Jesus, who they can't recognize yet, says, "Well, let me tell you something. First off, you're not believing. You need to believe." And he reinterpreted for them the real meaning of why Jesus came. See, they thought that Jesus was going to be this political leader that was going to release Rome and all this stuff. But that wasn't the game plan. The game plan was to release us from our sin. That he would pay for our sin and then resurrect, be alive, to be able to forgive us of our sin. And that's good news, right? That's good news. But yet, they didn't understand that. So Jesus had to correct them. They keep walking. They get Jesus to come back to the house they're going to stay at on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus starts to eat bread with them. And I love it. He breaks the bread. Does that remind you of anything? The Lord's Supper, when he broke the bread. As he breaks the bread with them, they see Jesus. And can't you just see them like a deer in the head, like, "Aha!" Can't you just see that? "Aha!" You know, they're there. And they're like, "Dude, this is Jesus! We've been walking with Jesus!" And then all of a sudden, he just, poof, disappears. That's his style, by the way. He liked that post-resurrection. He liked that stuff. He liked it. And then they said, "Oh my goodness, while he was talking with us, weren't our hearts just like busting out of our chest when he was telling us about the Bible? It just felt like gasoline bombs going off inside of us." Now we know why. By the way, you know when you feel that tug in your heart, when something's got to change, and it's almost like you swallowed a frog and it's going up and down? You ever had that? And you think, "Man, why is that doing that?" Maybe because God is telling you something. Maybe because the Lord's bursting in your heart with some fire that he wants to release. So they get up and they leave Emmaus. and they walk towards life. Now today, some of you all are getting ready to give up. You're struggling with life. You're struggling. You're having a hard time. Struggling with your marriage, your finances, whatever. Having a hard time. I just want you to know, in this hard time you're dealing with, Jesus has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. Actually, he's doing some really cool stuff with you right now. So let's just look real quick if you got your notes. First, I want you to see that the risen Jesus walks with us. He walks with us. Check it out. They're on the road arguing, disputing. They were so discouraged, having a hard time. And Jesus comes and walks with them. Now just notice this, that he lets them talk for a little bit. He lets it get them out. He lets them get it out of his system. It comes out of him a little bit. And then in the process of that, he's walking with them. Let's just be honest. You ever felt alone in your struggles? Yes or no? I would say if we really got down to it, majority of our struggles, we feel alone. That we internalize them. We bury them down deep. It hurts us. We struggle with it. We have a hard time. We internalize what we're dealing with. And it's incredibly hard. See, right now, you guys are walking towards something you shouldn't be. You're walking towards an Emmaus, this place of death. And what you don't realize is that Christ isn't just telling you to go back home. He's actually walking with you, encouraging you, speaking to you, trying to pull you back home. See, Jesus, what you'll discover about Jesus, he isn't just somebody that sits on the throne and points at you and tells you what to do. He comes down to you. He walks with you. He talks with you. He's personal. And I think that's one thing that really separates Christianity from other religions. See, in a religion, you got to do. But in Christianity, it's a relationship where you don't do to get to heaven. But you realize that Christ has already done it and that you receive it, that you believe. Well, Kenny, if Jesus is walking with me right now, I mean, where's he at? I have been just waiting and praying that he would come to me, and I just don't see him anywhere. Why should I trust in him if I don't see him anywhere? I mean, he's not walking with me. He's not with me. Friend, I just want to encourage you to open your eyes up, because he is walking with you. You know how I know that? Because you're here today. You're here today. Jesus got you here today to hear something. Well, no, my mom brought me. My wife made me come. I saw it on Facebook. Hey, you know what's cool? Jesus can use Facebook. He can. He can use it. He can use your mom. Use your wife. Use your dad. Use your neighbor. And the reason you're here today is because Christ is walking with you. It's not an accident. Just look at your neighbor real quick. Look at him. Look at them. All the Life Community people know that I'm serious when I say this. So those that are not yet Life Community people, look at somebody and just look at them and repeat after me. Say, you know accident. You know accident. Jesus walking with you, buddy. He's walking with you. Stop for a second. Have you thought about this week how he's trying to get your attention? Just this week. I'm not a betting man, but if I was a bet right now, I'd bet God has already been trying to stop you in your tracks this week. Sometimes it's through frustration, through anticipation, all kinds of stuff. He's trying to get your attention. Understand today that he's trying to get your attention today. The risen Jesus walks with us. Second, the risen Jesus, he also teaches us. So check it out. He is walking with them. They tell him, they say, hey, don't you know, they didn't know it was Jesus yet, don't you know that all this uproar that's happened in Jerusalem, where were you? And then we thought he was going to be this political leader, and he wasn't a political leader. We don't know what, we think he's dead. And the risen Jesus begins to go through the Bible and teach the Bible to them. And he says, he shows the prophecies and he interprets them that Jesus was the focus of all the Bible. Can I tell you something? We have the Bible today not to increase our knowledge, but to discover Jesus Christ. From everything, from Old Testament to New Testament, it's all about Jesus. That Christ came to this earth, He died for us, He resurrected. Our old lives can end, new lives can begin through Jesus. That's what it's all about. So He corrects their view. He helps them. He teaches them. Now, I'm just going to be the first one to tell you, I have a thick skull. Where's my wife? Amen, Taryn? Amen. Yep. Yep. You know, I am naturally prone. I'm just real. You tell me to do something, I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. That's how I'm wired. And I'll probably fight you in the process. My human tendency. Hard. School was hard on me. Teacher, tell me something. I said, no, that's not true. My Wikipedia article said this. Though you are a paid professional. You know, by the way, all y'all recovering Baptists in here, don't you love it? I was telling somebody this week about it. You know, a pastor will pray, meditate, think about it, or a team will do something. And they'll present it. And somebody who's not even thought about it will squish it immediately. It's our human nature to do that. Just squish it immediately. It's human nature. And the reality is that we are doubters, we are skeptics, we are pessimistic, we are ugly, we are mean, we're rude. Amen. Y'all don't want to say that because you're being rude and pessimistic and doubting that that's true. Right? Y'all rude. All y'all pessimistic. All y'all sarcastic. Why? Because we human beings. We struggle with this stuff. We have a hard time with this stuff. I'm the same way. So you know what that means? I have to be taught today. I have to allow Jesus to teach me. Anybody else need Jesus to teach you? Yes, we do. Hey, Life Community, can I tell you something really cool? If we just get a teachable spirit and we just say things like, you know what, we've never tried that. Well, what's it going to hurt to try that? Right? When we do that, say, well, we never done it that way, but if we do it, let's see if it works. Give it a shot. You know what? We'll go a long way with that mentality, yes or no? Long way. Long way. Understand today that we need truth in our lives. Today, as you're walking away from life into your own junk and your own stuff that you're dealing with, the enemy's going to come along and he's going to try to inject you with lies. That's how he operates, with lies. For example, he'll say your wife is no longer good enough for you. The guy at the gas station is better than your husband. Your life is meaningless. It's worthless. If you leave your family, your kids will be okay without you. Simply not true. It's lies that the enemy reveals to us. And Jesus is here today helping you to understand that it's time for truth, not lies. It's time to believe the truth of Christ. Jesus said himself, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is truth. You got to let him inject truth into you. I'm a big science fiction guy. I collect comic books. I'm a closet nerd. Maybe I'm an open nerd. I'm not entirely for sure today. I like stuff like that. A cool movie that I like is The Matrix. You ever seen The Matrix before? Guy living in a dream world. Everything's a dream world. Somebody from the dream world comes to him and says, you want to know the truth? And he gives him an option. Remember that scene? He puts two pills in front of him. One's red, one's blue. He says, you take the blue pill, keep believing a lie, just keep waking up in the dream world. You take the red pill, let's see how far the rabbit hole goes. Let's see how far it really is here in Wonderland. Let's see how deep it really is. So I think a lot of us are like Neo in the Matrix, man. We have to say right now, are we going to believe the truth that Jesus is giving us? Are we going to reject the truth and believe a lie? See, I think if you are willing to accept the truth, Jesus will speak into your heart and he'll show you that there's meaning, there's purpose in your life. But third, I want you to see this, that the risen Jesus not only walks with us, not only does he teaches us, and this is what's awesome. Are you ready? The risen Jesus changes us. This is what's so cool. The Bible says that he reclined the table, and with them he took the bread, he blessed and broke it, he gave it to them, then their eyes were open. Isn't that awesome? They're sitting there eating with them, and then they just recognize him, and then he disappeared. And they said, weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together. So here's what happened. Jesus appears to them, corrects them, course changes them. And what happens? They realize and they make a U-turn. They leave Emmaus and they go back to where life is, where Jerusalem is. That's where Jesus is appearing at. They go back to life change. Ironic that he recognizes it as he breaks the bread, because Jesus is the ultimate bread that was broken to feed us. Christ is the ultimate bread. I think today about when we walk away from life and we're walking towards junk, you know, it only gets worse. It doesn't get better. It just continually goes worse and worse and worse until it eventually winds up in this awful place called hell. That's where it ends at. And that in itself is a whole other can of darkness and yuckiness. It's bad. But when Christ comes into your heart, here's what's really cool. You're not the same. I mean, Jesus is not self-help. No. He kills your old life and makes you a new life. That's what he does. So that's why somebody that is former meth head, crackhead, prostitute, gang member can be a deacon, a pastor. They can step up and be a missionary. Why? Because Jesus changes people. Do y'all believe that today? Let me just do a survey real quick. Anybody in this room been changed by Jesus today? Man, he changes you. He makes you new. And that's a good thing. See, here at this church, we want to be a connecting, caring, and changing church. So here's the deal. You got a bunch of baggage, a bunch of junk. Boy, you're going to fit in just fine around here. Am I right? You're going to fit in just fine. You're going to be okay. Because we a bunch of baggage, junked up people in this house. But here's what's awesome. You ready? He comes into our life. And he begins the process of new life. Now, it's not all of a sudden. He's going to change us, part of the new life. He changes you. He works it out of you. You should be closer to God tomorrow than what you are today. That's the way he does it. So some of y'all get saved and not all your baggage is gone. That doesn't freak me out. I'm okay with that. But if it's still here next week, let's talk a little bit, all right? Let's see what God's doing. Here's what I'm saying is that Jesus is doing such a great work. He wants to change your life. He wants to make you a new person today. It's Easter. And we are on our way somewhere. Are we walking towards our Emmaus, our doubt, disillusionment, discouragement, disappointment? Or are we walking towards Christ? The reality is we have two choices today, just like Neo did. We either believe that Christ is risen and that we have a reason to live, or we reject that and live in a lie. But today, no matter what you're dealing with, I would just challenge you to turn to Christ. I read a really cool story about a minister that lived in England in the 50s. His name was W.E. Sangster. And the story goes that Reverend Sangster had a muscle problem, and it was slowly eating at his body. He was losing specifically two things, his leg and his voice. Now, I can tell you as a pastor, those are two very, very important things for a pastor. Would that be fair to say? To walk somewhere and to talk somewhere. That's how we live. Very, very important. So when his leg began to fail, he was okay as long as he had his voice because he could sit and preach. But when the muscle disease got a hold of his throat, he got incredibly discouraged, incredibly disheartened. And in the process of that, he chose not to live in that disappointment and discouragement. Instead, he took up writing. He took up writing. God had somehow revealed to him early in his life that he needed to pursue education, to learn as much as he could. And it paid off, because when he was suffering, he was able to still write books and articles. And many of his books and articles were written when he couldn't even verbally talk and walk. The story goes that as his legs became more and more useless and his voice was completely gone, and he could hold an ink pen, but real shakily. It was on an Easter morning, and his daughter recalls the story. An Easter morning, just like today. And it was just a few weeks before he died. And he wrote a letter to his daughter. And this is what he said. "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout that he is risen. But it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Today you have a choice. Will you live or will you run away? Will you walk towards Christ or will you run away? Well, King, I'm ready today. I'm ready to choose Jesus right now. I'm ready to give my heart to Christ, to walk away from Emmaus and walk towards life today. How does that happen? You just got to learn your ABCs, man. You got to admit that you're a sinner. Own up that you are a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And C, choose to follow Christ with all of your heart. My prayer is that your decision will be this: to believe in the risen Jesus for new life. Well, Kenny, I'm ready. I'm ready to put my faith in the Jesus this morning. You ready? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, maybe you're ready to turn and put your faith into Jesus. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died and rose again. I invite you into my heart to save me. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Look right here. Look right here. If you did that today, I want you to take your connection card and flip it over. And right there on the back, the very first top one, if you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior for the very first time today, I want you just to mark it on there. I want to talk with you and follow up with you and pray with you and help you in that decision. Maybe today you prayed to receive Christ and you say, "Kenny, I just want to make it known. I want to encourage somebody. I want to let them know Jesus changed me. I want to let them know He changed me." So here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to come forward. Come right down here to me and say, "Kenny, Jesus changed my life today, and I want to make it public." It's your time to pray, to sing, and to respond as we stand. Would you come this morning?